Good afternoon, everybody. Happy Sabbath. Good to see you all. Jennifer and I enjoyed a relaxing morning at home. The Bradfords took our children. So we sat out on the patio and enjoyed coffee and enjoyed each other's company, which is fantastic. Am I a fool or am I wise? I've been thinking about this question to myself over the last several months. Our young adults in the congregation are studying Proverbs through our quarterly get-togethers. Our teens, as Mr. Bradford just mentioned, are studying Proverbs as a part of that learning program. In the Fay family, we decided to study Proverbs to encourage our boys and all of us towards wisdom. You know, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. And through all of this, I thought, well, for the sake of congregational integration, it might be helpful if we all took a study on Proverbs, help each other out over the next few months. God calls on us to be wise, just as he is. Isaiah 11 remarks that the Spirit of the Lord includes a spirit of wisdom. There are at least three scriptures in the New Testament that refer to God as wise. Jude 1 and 24 says, "Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling," and we all need that, "and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy to our God, our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen." Therefore, to be like God, we must be wise. Am I a fool or am I wise? When Christ sent his disciples, he remarked and said that his servants should be as wise as serpents and harmless like doves. When God created the heavens and the earth, he did so in wisdom. Proverbs 8:22 says, "The Lord possessed me," and this is wisdom talking of herself, "the Lord possessed me at the beginning of his way, before his works of old." Now imagine if God the Father gave you the responsibility to create the entire universe, including the earth and everything that's in it. What would you plan first? Yes, I have no idea either. I don't know where I would start because I don't have that wisdom. Here's one attribute of the creation that's remarkably wise. Psalm 145 in verse 16 says, "You open your hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing." In his great wisdom, the creator of the heavens and the earth designed a system so that every living thing gets food. We call it the food chain. It's extremely wise. And he's made the creation so that wisdom is everywhere when we look for it. The creation examples wisdom. God says, "Go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider its ways and be wise." Proverbs 8:1, "Does not wisdom cry out, and understanding lift up her voice? She takes her stand at the top of the hill, beside the way where the paths meet, where people are intersecting and moving around. She cries by the gates and at the entry of the city and at the entrances of the doors." Wisdom is freely available. That's how God designed it. Wisdom is critically important to God. It is his nature. Therefore, we must be wise to inherit the kingdom of God. However, we all start out as fools. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. In God's wise system, he made it so that we all must learn wisdom. We start as simple beings. True wisdom, as we learn from Proverbs 9, comes from the fear of the Lord. There is another wisdom, a wisdom that comes from the earth. It's sourced from Satan's corrupt wisdom. And that's a different topic. Am I a fool or am I wise? You might remember, if you're of a certain age, a comedian in the 1990s named Jeff Foxworthy. His purpose in life was to help people identify whether or not they might be a redneck. He asked, if your underwear doubles as a bathing suit, you might be a redneck. According to him, it was an identifying mark of rednecks. And he had a whole series of jokes that would help with that. So let's do that. Let's examine identifying marks of foolish people and wise people. Then we can judge ourselves to identify places to grow in wisdom. The good news is that we can all grow in wisdom if we discover we're behaving foolishly. To prepare today's message, I did an analysis of Proverbs. You know I like data. So I took all the Proverbs that, at least in the New International Version, included the words fool, fools, foolish, wise, and wisdom. That number is 150 Proverbs. For each verse, I created two columns, one that said wise and one that said foolish, and then I read it, and I categorized that proverb into a theme of how it expresses wisdom or how it expresses foolishness. Then I grouped all the proverbs together that have a similar theme, foolish and wisdom. And I counted them, and I sorted them by the themes that have the most proverbs. And today, we are going to look at the top five, at least by my system of categorization. And coincidentally, the top five between the foolish category and the wise category created five contrasts, at least in my personal observation. So let's dig into the five contrasts between wise people and foolish people. For each, we will read three proverbs to gain a rounded perspective. And to simplify the page flipping, if you are a page flipper, I've ordered them chronologically from earliest to later, so you can flip one way most of the time. For each contrast, we will look first at the attributes of a fool, and then we will look at the attributes of the wise person. And I don't believe I made any mistakes, but I do make mistakes. All the Proverbs are taken from the New International Version, I think. But I didn't check, double check it. Contrast number one, between wise and foolish people. An important identifying mark between a fool and a wise person is how they speak. A fool identifies himself or herself by hasty, abundant, and mocking speech. This kind of speech produces bad results. Proverbs 10, please. Proverbs 10 and verse 8, the wise in heart will receive commands, but a prating fool will fall. Prating is someone who has foolish talk, or their talk becomes tedious. By their speaking, you actually become tired of it. And when they have troubles, they will fall. I wonder if it's because they are alone. Nobody to catch them from their tiresome speech. Proverbs 18 and verse 7. We'll see if my strategy of flipping one way works or not. Proverbs 18:7. A fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are the snare of his soul. Our mouths get us into so much trouble. And not just trouble in life, but a snag to our spirit, our soul, our innermost being is compromised by the things that come out of our mouth, according to this proverb, if we are behaving foolishly. Proverbs 29 in verse 20. I do promise to read faithfully if you don't want to flip. Proverbs 29 and verse 20. Do you see a man hasty in his words? There is more hope for a fool than for him. Now, the Bible does not speak very well of fools. And being hasty in our words is even worse, according to this proverb. Now, let's just think about that for a moment. When was the last time we let hasty words out of our mouth? 5 weeks ago, I was speaking to my boss, and I was working on this message, and I felt compelled to share something with her, and I spoke it. And now I'm not sure it was the best move. A fool is known for hasty, abundant, and mocking speech. Other proverbs mention a chattering fool, like this little chicka 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 chicka. And that's a really vivid image. You probably will now never forget it. Like that one time. And the results are equally predictable. Proverbs says that a fool, by how they speak, invites themselves to be punched in the face. A fool creates hard feelings between people. They put them in a bind by what they say. And they show everyone what's in their heart. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Have we spoken like a fool? So far, I've avoided being punched in the mouth. Still got more time. But for sure, not every word that I have spoken has been wise. Let's take a look at wise, the wise people. When the wise speak, they produce good fruit, promoting life and wisdom. From Isaiah 9 in verse 6, we learn about Christ and the kind of government that he will operate. The scripture identifies several titles that he possesses. In the New King James Version, it says, Wonderful and Counselor. The New International Version puts these two titles together, calling him a Wonderful Counselor. Some commentaries invert this by saying that Christ is a counselor of wonderful things. It's one of his titles. And certainly the Word of the Lord gives counsel of wonderful things. Let's take a look at a few proverbs. Flip back to Proverbs 10, please. Proverbs 10 and verse 21. The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for lack of wisdom. The wise, in their speech, they feed people. They nourish people by what they have said. Proverbs 12 and verse 18. There is one who speaks like the piercing of a sword, but the tongue of the wise promotes health. Today is Jennifer's and mine 11th year anniversary. Love you, babe. Like many couples, we had our share of disagreements in our first few years, and maybe a few years after that. We were recently talking, and my wife reminded me of something that I had said years ago, earlier in our marriage. And at the time, it was like the piercing of a sword. And she has carried it all those years. I didn't even know that she had held on to that as a person. I certainly never intended to have that kind of impact, but I did. By contrast, the words of the wise promote health and healing. Now imagine if in every heated situation we might pause and consider how we could bring healing and health in that moment. Then we would be wise. A fool pokes and provokes. You know, I'm working on not poking the bear. Health and healing, that's what we strive for. That's what wise people strive for. Proverbs 31 and verse 26. This is all about virtuous women. Proverbs 31 and verse 26. She, speaking of a woman of noble character, opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. The law of kindness? There's a law about kindness? Perhaps we all need to upgrade our speech. Kindness is a mark of wise speech. As you'll recall, Christ, even as a young man, was known for his grace. He grew in favor with both God and man. The book of Luke records that people marveled at his gracious speech. They were in awe, like, wow, he said that really well. Am I a fool or am I wise? Let's take a look at a second difference between those who are wise and those who are fools. Again, we'll start with the fool. We can identify a wise person and a foolish person based on the effect they have on other people. A fool brings grief and burden, at least according to the Proverbs. This too also would cause them over time to become alone. Let's take a look at a handful of Proverbs. We'll flip back to Proverbs 19 and verse 13. Proverbs 19 and verse 13, a foolish son is the ruin of his father, and the contentions of a wife are a continual dripping. Proverbs is very vivid. Sons and daughters, husbands and wives are all open to being fools. What's true is that everyone that is a fool brings grief. Proverbs 26 and verse 6. This one's very colorful. Proverbs 26 and verse 6. He who sends a message by the hand of a fool cuts off his own feet and drinks violence. Have you ever sent a message by a fool? Sometimes my own thumbs are that messenger. Sent them off, get me in trouble. The imagery of this proverb is just so strong. I mean, drinking violence. Why would a person do that to themselves? Cut off their feet, that does not sound good at all. It's terrible. Proverbs 27 and verse 3. Proverbs 27 and verse 3. A stone is heavy and sand is weighty, but a fool's wrath is heavier than both of them. Now, I've carried stones and sand, and I'm sure you have as well. I once had an interaction with a colleague, this is many years ago, and a subordinate, who's a colleague and a subordinate, and it was very heavy. We ended up having to fire this person because they did not possess good judgment. You could not trust them to go and get things done. And it brought the whole team down, and we had to fire this person. A fool brings grief from what they say and what they do. Eventually, people don't want to be around them anymore because they're too heavy and they're too burdensome and they cause harm. Should a fool persist, eventually they will become alone. And nobody wants to have that. Now, a wise person is different. An identifying mark of the wise is that they act, that when they act, and when they speak up, they build up and they promote life. Proverbs 11 and verse 30. Proverbs 11 and verse 30. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he who wins souls is wise. From time to time, we all have difficult interactions with people. Imagine if we changed our thinking. We sense that we're about to step into an argument, like you can feel it happen, almost like you're going to go over a waterfall. At least that's how it feels to me. And the confrontation is building. And our mind, we shoot up a flare, alerting us to the fact that we want to be wise right now. And instead of mentally building up our arguments to rebut and defend, we instead plot and plan how we might win them back in that moment. Paul remarks in 1 Corinthians 9 that to the Jews he became a Jew so that he might win the Jews. And to those who were without the law, he became like those without the law, that he could win those people too. And to the weak, he became weak, so that he might win the weak. Paul was wise, which is fitting for one of God's apostles. He was focused on how he could win people. Proverbs 13 and verse 14. Proverbs 13, 14. The law of the wise is a fountain of life to turn one away from the snares of death. Now, a fountain of life sounds pretty good. I want to be around a fountain of life. It's refreshing. It's life-sustaining. It's thirst-quenching. It's a great place to get cleaned up if you're dirty. Its soothing sound of a waterfall promotes peace and tranquility. It's a resting place from the dry and the hot. Fountain of life. That sounds pretty good. Proverbs 24 and verse 3. And I want to read all these proverbs to just give a round perspective of how we talk about these themes. I know it's a lot of flipping and a lot of scriptures, so thank you. Proverbs 24 and verse 3. Through wisdom, a house is built, and by understanding, it is established. Now here, Proverbs is talking not about a physical house, although it does take wisdom to build a physical house, but a family and a lineage. For example, the house of David. Many people try to build a family dynasty, and the best way to do that is through wisdom. David must have been a wise person. A wise person builds up by what they say and what they do. God the Father is wise. In the full expression of the kingdom of God, in the new heaven and in the new earth, there will be wise people there. He's building a family dynasty. That kingdom will have never-ending peace. And that's because it will be full of wise beings who see the value in peace. Am I a fool or am I wise? Let's move to the third difference between those who are fools and those who are wise. Contrast number three is how they manage their life. Again, we'll start with the fool. A fool must be driven by somebody else. Small children, as we all know from experience, need to be micromanaged to get something done on time. And as they mature and as they become more wise, they need less oversight. It's part of the process that God has established. Proverbs 1 and verse 32. We'll take a look at this. That a fool must be driven. For the turning away, so this book is about this subject. For the turning away of the simple will slay them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. While preparing this message, I had this feeling that I might not know the exact meaning of the term complacency. Jennifer and I in our free time this morning discussed it. And I was right. I did not know the exact meaning of complacency. So I looked it up in Merriam-Webster. And this is what they remark. Complacency is self-satisfaction, especially when accompanied by an unawareness of actual dangers or deficiencies. Self-satisfaction. If we feel self-satisfied about something, we might be exposing ourselves to foolishness. Proverbs 17 and verse 10. Proverbs 17:10, rebuke is more effective for a wise man than 100 blows on a fool. If we discover that we are repeatedly corrected for the same thing again and again, this is an indicator that we are acting as fools. Proverbs 26 and verse 3. This one's also very colorful. I like the Proverbs because they're colorful. Proverbs 26 and verse 3 says, "A whip for a horse, a bridle for a donkey, and a rod for a fool's back." In this proverb, the writer makes an analogy between fools and brute beasts. I wonder how God feels about us sometimes, myself included, as he guides us towards the kingdom of God. Is that experience like a sheep and a shepherd, or is it more like a horse and its rider? As we think about our relationships with other people, do we need repeated reminders and constant prodding to get the action done? That cannot produce a good result in the long run. Now, the wise are different in this manner. A defining attribute of wise people is that they act purposefully. And that results in increasing respect. Proverbs 13 and verse 16. Proverbs 13 and verse 16 It says, every prudent man acts with knowledge, but a fool lays open his folly. I was reminded of an incident when I was probably 9 or 10. I was playing with a friend. We were living in Canada. I was playing with a friend, playing with a Nerf football. So we're throwing it back and forth. And I throw it high, and it gets stuck in a tree, in this pine tree. And, so I look at the situation, and I decide I've got this great idea. So I go get a rock. That's about this big, at least as a kid. I'm just like, here's the plan. I'm going to throw the rock, hit the ball. Ball's going to come down. It's going to be awesome. So got the rock. Threw it at the ball, and I hit it on the first try. I was super impressed with myself. And so I'm watching to catch the ball, and as I catch the ball, I also get struck with the rock. Right on the head. Bam! And I'm tough. I'm in front of my friends, so got to shake this off. Be cool. We go back to throwing the ball. And it's a hot day, and I start to feel sweat running down my forehead. And so I rub my sweat back into my hair, and I look back, and my hand is bright red. I totally freaked out. I laid open my folly. Proverbs 17:24. Proverbs 17 and verse 24. Wisdom is in the sight of him who has understanding, but the eyes of a fool are on the ends of the earth. This proverb contrasts wise people and foolish people based on their ability to stay focused. A fool in their quest for wisdom gazes off into the distance and gets distracted way down the road. But a wise person can lock it in, can lock in their focus and gain understanding on getting wisdom. Proverbs 21 and 22. This one I'm really enjoying right now. Proverbs 21, 22. It says, a wise man scales the city of the mighty and brings down the trusted stronghold. Wise people think deeply about the problem ahead, what they're going to do. This reminds me of how God brought down the walls, the great walls of Jericho, in which all the people trusted. I'm sure they felt super safe inside that city as all the people are marching around. You'd have to think they were complete idiots. And then the walls just fall. How shocking would that be if you were a member, a citizen of Jericho back then? The wise think about how to take down a trusted stronghold. This proverb makes me wonder about my spiritual life. What are the spiritual strongholds in my life where sin dwells? And how do I pull that down through God's power? This is why we give counseling for baptism, to think deeply about what we're about to do before we decide to get baptized. But a fool must be driven by somebody else, while a wise person acts purposefully. And how they manage their life is a key indicator between the two. Am I a fool or am I wise? Contrast number four. We can distinguish between a foolish person and a wise person by what they seek or what we seek. A foolish person pursues foolishness, and this deprives them of the chance to seek wisdom, and therefore, they expose themselves to a hard life. This is what Proverbs says. Let's go to the beginning of the book of Proverbs, in Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7. Proverbs number chapter 1 and verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Now, it is amazing and surprising how often the Bible says that the simple, those people who haven't yet learned wisdom, want to remain that way. I was actually surprised by that. There are many proverbs that talk about that, that the simple want to stay simple. And this one says that fools despise wisdom and instruction. Here's another one, Proverbs 15:5. It says, a fool despises his father's instruction, but he who receives correction is prudent. Fathers and mothers are a blessing for instruction, but fools don't want to be corrected. They don't want to see it. Proverbs 15:14, just a few verses down. The heart of him who has understanding seeks knowledge, but the mouth of fools feeds on foolishness. The desire for wisdom comes from the innermost being of a person, from their heart, and we can set our hearts on foolish things, or we can set our hearts on knowledge and wisdom. As I look around today, I wonder how much people spend time on gaining wisdom versus pursuing foolishness. We only have so much time. And when hard times come, either to that individual person or to the society in general, will they have the tools and experiences to navigate those challenges with wisdom? Remember the five wise virgins and the five foolish ones? By contrast, the wise seek instruction by listening and pursuing wisdom. Doing this protects them from harm. Let's again go to the beginning of Proverbs, Proverbs 1, for more advice. Proverbs 1 in verse 5, right at the beginning. A wise man will hear and increase learning, and a man of understanding will attain wise counsel. When was the last time you stopped and purposefully sought advice and input and counsel from another wise person? The last 2 years of my professional career have been harder than I expected. Now, I did seek advice from a handful of people, but I wondered if maybe I should have cast the net a little more widely now that I'm sitting in the circumstance that I am. Proverbs 13 and verse 20. He who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companions of fools will be destroyed. This is very serious stuff. I'm not trying to bring anybody down. This is what Proverbs says. An important side effect of accurately identifying foolish people from wise people is that it has a direct impact on our own life. Being in the company of fools leads to being destroyed eventually. Far better to surround ourselves with people who are wise. We can listen to what they say, and we can observe how they act and be instructed. Let's look at one more proverb in this section to complete the set, to get a good rounded perspective. Proverbs 18:15. Proverbs 18:15, The heart of the discerning acquires knowledge, for the ears of the wise seek it out. They're doing it on purpose. Now think of all the domains in life, our health and our wealth, our professional aspirations, our hobbies, strengthening the bonds of our marriage, raising our children, buying a house, deciding who to marry, deciding what school to go to, evaluating, pursuing the kingdom of God. The wise set their heart on listening and pursuing knowledge and wisdom as an important goal to attain. Elsewhere in the Bible, there's a simile made, and in Proverbs as well, about pursuing gold and silver and rubies and how the hunt for wisdom should be just as important. Talks about people who hunt all over the earth, digging deep holes, looking for gold and silver. They hang themselves off cliffs, put them in all kinds of precarious situations just to extract that mineral. And our efforts towards attaining wisdom should be just the same. The wise purposefully expend their effort and energy to listen and to seek wisdom. Am I a fool or am I wise? Our last contrast for today, number 5. An important difference between a wise person and someone who is behaving foolishly is whether or not they get advice. A fool is not known for getting advice. They do what seems right to them. And they often suffer sudden destruction. Proverbs 14:16. Proverbs 14:16, a wise man hears and departs from evil, but a fool rages and is self-confident. Years ago, I had an experience. I was working on a very stressful project, and it was at a time when our company was trying to scale and grow, and we didn't have everything in place to the degree that we needed to grow and scale at the rate we were. So I'm working on this very stressful project, super big deadlines, high stress, high pressure, and through some accidental or purposeful incident, a team member who was critical to our team got staffed on another project, like right in the middle of our project. And I was furious. I'm like, how does that happen? I could not believe it. And so I marched right into the supervisor's office, knocked on his door, broke into a conference that he was having, and let him know that this was completely unacceptable. I retained the SQL developer on my staff. Job well done. And damaged that relationship for years. Proverbs 26:12. I'm so glad wisdom can be learned. It's very encouraging. Proverbs 26:12. Do you see a man wise in his own eyes? There is more hope for a fool than for him. We've already established that the Bible doesn't speak well about fools. Here's another one that is just worse than being foolish. Is to be wise in your own eyes. Just a few more verses down in verse 16, Proverbs 26:16. A lazy man is wiser in his own eyes than 7 men who can answer sensibly. All right, 7 is the number of completion, or one of them. So seven people have given a good answer, and this lazy person is wise in his own eyes. There is a connection between laziness and being wise in your own eyes. I remember something Mom used to always say. Yeah, we have kids now, and you know, you load up the car, you go to the grocery store, you have all this food, you got to schlep it into the house. And she would always talk about the lazy man's load, where you know, you try to get all these things, you got the cantaloupe under here and a bottle of water and eggs, and you're like walking like this with all your stuff because you don't want to take multiple trips. It is not wise. Just take multiple trips. She called it the lazy man's load, and I think about that with fondness even now. And I tell my children. There's a Twitter hashtag called You Do You. It's also a conversational expression. It's about doing what you think best, no matter what other people think. It's also a passive-aggressive retort against people that are, you know, being unwise. Fools do what seems right to them. They aren't interested in getting advice or accepting correction. The wise are different. They accept instruction and rebuke from wise people. This leads to increased wisdom. Let's look at a few proverbs about accepting rebuke. Proverbs 9:9. Proverbs 9:9. Instruct the wise and they will be wiser still. Teach the righteous and they will add to their learning. Good news, wisdom can be learned. No one needs to say simple forever. The wise and the righteous see room for adding to their wisdom and to learn instruction. Proverbs 15:31. The ear that hears the rebuke of life will abide among the wise. Their ear is focused on that. Now, the carnal man and the fool don't like to hear rebuke. But how can you grow from being simple to being wise unless you receive rebuke and correction? It's the only way it happens, because we all start off as fools. Proverbs 29:18. Where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint. But blessed is the one who heeds wisdom's instruction. Proverbs and God's word encourage us to seek advice from wise people and do what they instruct. When was the last time we actively listened to what people are saying? Noticing the advice that they're giving to other people, taking it in, looking for it, actively getting input on decisions we're about to make, especially important decisions. Am I a fool or am I wise? We've looked at five contrasts between the wise and foolish and their identifying marks. Contrast one, how they speak. Fools, hasty, abundant, and mocking speech. Wise, they speak by promoting life and wisdom. Contrast two, their effect on other people. A fool brings grief and burden, while the wise act and speak in a way to build up and promote life. Contrast three, how they manage their life. A fool must be driven. A wise person acts purposefully. Contrast four, what they seek. A fool seeks foolishness. But the wise seek instruction by listening and pursuing wisdom from a wise source. Contrast five, whether or not they get advice. A fool does what seems right to them, but the wise accept instruction and rebuke. What is the most telling mark the strongest indicator. Recall that in the method that I chose, I established foolish themes and wise themes, and I counted the number of verses that supported that theme, one for each. What is in the number one slot for both fool and wise? According to Proverbs, and at least by this analysis technique, the most telling trait of a fool is how they speak. Hasty, abundant, and mocking speech. According to Proverbs and this analysis technique, what is the most telling trait of a wise person? How the wise seek instruction by listening and actively pursuing wisdom. Am I wise or am I a fool? Please turn to Job 28. As you know, I'm a lover of Job. Because God is the source of wisdom. Job 28 and verse 12. But where can wisdom be found? And where is the place of understanding? Man does not know its value, nor is it found in the land of the living. The deep says, it's not in me. And the sea says, it's not in me. It can't be purchased for gold, nor can silver by weight for its price. It cannot be valued like the gold of Ophir or precious onyx or sapphire. Neither gold nor crystal can equal to it, nor can it be exchanged for jewelry of fine gold. No mention shall be made of coral or quartz, for the price of wisdom is above rubies. The topaz of Ethiopia cannot equal it, nor can it be valued in pure gold. From where then does wisdom come? And where is the place of understanding? It is hidden from the eyes of all living and concealed from the birds of the air. Destruction and death say, we have heard a report about it with our ears. God understands its way, and he knows its place. For he looks to the ends of the earth and sees under the whole heavens to establish a weight for the wind and apportion the waters by measure. When he made a law for the rain and a path for the thunderbolt, when he saw wisdom and declared it, he prepared it. Indeed, he searched it out. And to man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding. Wisdom does serve us in this physical life. Obedience to God's laws, his statutes, his judgments is wise. And more important than a blessed physical life, which is good to have, is attainment of the kingdom of God. We know there's a kingdom where Christ and God the Father reign. As we think about that kingdom, am I a fool or am I wise? Matthew 7, please. Matthew 7 and verse 24. Therefore, and you have to read the whole thing to understand why he's saying therefore. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, The wind blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. And so it was, when Jesus had ended these sayings, that the people were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority, not as the scribes and the Pharisees. The kingdom of God is wisdom, and pursuit of that is wisdom. John 3, please. John 3 and verse 17. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Like fools and simple people, the carnal man does not want to come to the light. It wants to remain in darkness. It does not seek God's wisdom. It doesn't set its heart to listening and obeying wise counsel from the counselor of wonderful things. Verse 20, for everyone practicing evil hates the light and doesn't come to the light lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God. We can be wise or we can be foolish in earthly matters, and we can be wise or we can be foolish in heavenly matters. Deuteronomy 4, for the sake of time, I'll just skip over it, speaks about how the law of God is our wisdom and that people would see it. Now, the children of Israel didn't choose that. They chose foolishness. They chose false gods and false ways. It is wise to pursue the kingdom of God with all of our might, and to seek instruction in righteousness, to set our heart on it. The wise seek wisdom by listening. And the wise seek wisdom by pursuing wisdom, an active effort to gain it. And the wise build up wisdom by listening to wisdom and doing as it instructs, and gaining in wisdom. I hope you found this survey of wisdom and foolishness from Proverbs helpful. The good news is that we can all grow in wisdom. There's scripture about praying to God that he would give wisdom if we discover we've behaved foolishly.